I'm a crier, so I'll cry just about anything.
Sure.
But
Tide commercials.
Probably.
Pampers is the worst. Pampers commercials.
They make you cry?
Oh my gosh. And then the ones
How does
with the
a dirty
Olympics.
Diaper make you cry?
The P&G commercials during the Olympics
where it's
with
like,
the mom.
Mom's got you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Lose uh-huh. it. Yeah. Oh man. Every
I'll
time.
Cry at just about anything narrated by Bob Costas. He does a fantastic job mm-hmm.
of making you cry.
Yeah. Yes. Like he just, he tells a story mm-hmm. in such a beautiful way. Yeah. Just mm-hmm. weeping. Olympics, yeah. the Masters tournament, mm-hmm. all of it. Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We got it.
Don't ruin it now.
This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, is Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hi, Patrick.
And we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. Gonna have our little tagline in there.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, no tears this morning, as we record. But maybe who knows?
Know.
This could be an emotional episode.
Yeah, we're very connected here in this space.
Yeah. And with you, our listeners, we hope you're feeling this
and
emotional
so if you,
connection.
If you're crying as you listen to this,
yeah,
we're with you. We
it's
understand.
Okay. It's going to be all right. You're loved and valuable and beautiful. So all those good vibes coming out.
Yeah, good vibes. Lots yes. of good vibes.
Yeah. Today we're going to take a look at work.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Now start the waterworks.
Is that your cry?
You work with us, and you're going to cry.
Yeah. Oh, yikes.
Katie thinks about work and just breaks into tears. Yes.
No, I like my work.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about jobs and vocation. And,
ooh, vocation.
We're going to take a look at a study on jobs.
All right.
Not Steve Jobs.
Oh.
But jobs.
But jobs?
I don't know what your college employment was, but not that either.
Proctology? Is that...
Before we get there, we have an article to look at from Pastor David. He sent me this article,
I
so did. We're going to take a look. So this is from the Irish News. So take it with the largest grain of salt you got.
I found it while drinking a Guinness.
Okay.
That's actually not true.
Is that how it works? You drink a Guinness, engage in Irish News.
Right. You know, yes. My normal Sunday afternoon ritual. Is that not, that's not everybody else?
Perfect, perfect. Probably.
I'm so trying to think of something to say with an Irish accent, but it's going to totally come out.
Let's hear it.
No, yeah.
No, you can't say that.
I don't even have anything.
So
anything.
I was just going to do like a wee something, wee bit o. I don't know. Oh.
So a while back, we had a Sunday on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes in my head, I do things to entertain myself during worship. And so I decided I was going to sing the hymns in my head, only in my head, but I was going to sing the hymns with an Irish accent. And about halfway through the second hymn, I was like, I don't feel like this is right. And so I kept thinking about it and kept trying to do it. And all of a sudden I realized not only was I not doing an Irish accent, I was doing a bad impression of Mel Gibson doing a Scottish accent, which was a bad impression of Mel Gibson doing a Scottish accent in uh-huh. Braveheart.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
They may take all lives.
Right. Yep, that's basically how I was singing in my head that day. It was great.
Speaking of accents, I'll share my own story on accents now. As some of you know, and maybe our listeners knew, I took like 2 years of improv.
Yeah.
And one of my classmates and the guy I did improv with a lot was very, very good at accents and worked very hard on doing those things. I am real bad at them to the point of I didn't even try. So we would get on stage and he would give me this beautiful Irish accent and I would say like, yep, we're in Ireland. I am not even going to attempt it. It will not sound good on any level. But speaking of things that don't sound good on any level, singing with fellow employees reduces work stress,
yes!
research suggests.
Wow.
Yes. All right.
Should we have a little song together?
Yeah. Well, their example here round? Is Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
Katie, you're the one of us who knows how to sing.
I can't whistle.
So you come in at the part you can't do. Yeah, so according to the study... if you're stressed at work, singing with your fellow coworkers can reduce that stress.
All right.
What do you think about that? Would you want to sing with your coworkers? I mean, we work at a church, so singing is kind
of
like
it's more
part of it.
Culture, yeah.
But
I don't know. I've not worked in like a corporate workspace
a
long time. Yeah, a real office. So I don't know how that would be, but I think that there is something particularly unique and powerful about coming together in a place like church and singing together. I think that's a meaningful thing.
Yeah, what do you think, Katie, here?
Yeah, I would totally sing all the time at work.
I believe
it.
I
mean, Yeah. I wish my life was a musical.
Yeah. If we worked in a real office together, Katie, and you were singing all the time, you would be one of those people that I would not like. You would be committing a work faux pas that I would not be about.
Yep. See, understand, my first job that I had was I was an elementary music teacher, so it was kind of part of the job.
You were singing with your co-workers and employees all the time.
So here's from the article. We found that participants felt less stressed about their work and more socially connected after singing. They gained more support from their choir, the work choir, than other social interactions at work. And overall, there was a 96% reduction in work-related stress and an 86% reduction in feelings of social isolation.
What? Mm-hmm.
By singing. That's pretty powerful. Yeah, what are the work songs that you would want to sing?
Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer, yeah. Yeah, because we usually in our context when we sing, it's usually a worship song.
Yeah, that's fine. I like worship songs, but branch out there. I don't know. Let's do something else.
Do something else? Yeah, yeah. We can do that. I mm-hmm. respect that. Maybe at our next staff retreat, we can sing some Bon Jovi. I can get down with that. Maybe we can recommend some karaoke.
Yeah, there you go.
From there.
I'm so down with that.
Yeah, I bet you are, Katie.
Some Jackson 5.
Some Jackson 5. Okay.
Some,
I'm a Billy Joel guy at karaoke.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Play me a song.
Yes. I sing Bad But Bold.
Ooh,
so
there you go.
Yeah. That's how it works.
I would guess that there's a lot of the singing Bad With Bull in this study, that's how it comes together. Like, you know, it's a lot of people who don't necessarily know what they're doing, but they're doing it together, and it's that, like, shared communal experience mm-hmm. of sharing something that's about.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious if the same could be done with, like, I don't know, if you play video games for an hour together or something like that, or if you're, like, just engaged in play together. Like, if you're just,
sure.
you're not working, you're just having community time together.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would have a similar effect. I don't know.
I'll take this into our next staff meeting and say, Pastor David thinks we should play video games together.
No. The Irish News thinks that we should play
video games. Okay. The Irish News thinks that the Irish are coming.
The Irish are coming.
All right. Let's talk about work. Let's move on to talk about this study. We've talked about this group before, Barna. They are an organization that does Christian research.
In barns.
Yeah, it's all about barn research.
Yep.
Yeah, so like what animals were there,
yep.
you know, when Jesus was born?
Right.
This is, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
I do.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. What was, before we get to our study, what was your worst job that you've ever had? And don't say this one.
Yeah. Worst job I've ever had.
You didn't have a job in high school?
No, I did. I worked at a restaurant. I was a hostess.
Okay.
But that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I did not hate it.
Yeah. I guess I've been really fortunate in that. I've never been in a place where I was, like, forced to work a job. Like, I've worked because I wanted to, or I was able to find a job in areas. So, like, even growing up, I mowed lawns, like, because mm-hmm. I wanted to be out mowing lawns. Not because I felt like I had to do this,
right.
but, like, because I had five or six people in my neighborhood, and they'd pay me some money. And so, I don't know. I've not had weird jobs. I was a lifeguard for a while at a Jewish community center while I was in seminary studying to be a pastor, which provided for some interesting conversations, but I wouldn't say it's that weird.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. It's lifeguarding, hostessing. You didn't have a job in college?
Spend one semester calling alumni for my college, asking for money. That was pretty awful.
That sounds like my personal version of hell.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That is the worst.
There's a reason it was only one semester.
Possible job, being a call center.
I'm pretty sure I quit before they had the chance to not offer me the job back.
Yeah. 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 That's a job that I would have just stopped showing up to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can already feel that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
In college, I was a security guard at our college.
Ooh.
Yes, 3 to 8 in the morning, 3 times a week.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's early.
It is. Or late.
That's probably there's probably a lot of action going on there.
There was zero action going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hear about Patrick's college.
Yeah. There was not a lot going on. Mostly everyone's asleep. I talked to a homeless guy once. That's kind of about it. Like, that was kind of, you know, it was a lot of shooting hoops in the gym, but watching movies and racing golf carts with my partner.
Nice.
That's kind of the job. So,
dang
it, security guard. I'm also not a very big guy, so if something did happen, there's nothing I would do or could do.
Lock the door and call 911.
Yep. I have a flashlight. That's what I got here, people. And I'm also not interested in, like, fighting anyone for the sake of protecting the school.
Right.
You know, like, I had no diehard fantasies while this was going on. Yes. You know, not happening. Well, let's take a look at work.
Work.
Work. So this is, they did a huge research here about Christians at work.
All right.
So how we take, Christians take their faith into the work life. Now, I know Pastor David and I kind of went to school for vocational ministry.
Yeah, for the jobs that we are now in.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So we're here and we trained for these jobs in school. Like we did this. Katie, you are not, not do that. You're a trained teacher.
Yes.
And ended up here.
Yes.
So you did not leave college with the idea of like, I want to work for a church.
No.
Yeah, okay. So that's kind of different. Because I've never...
Is there more to that, Katie?
No.
Ugh. Church, gross.
Yep. No, I was for sure just going to teach my whole life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I don't know, I think this is an interesting perspective because, you know, we never really had, I've never worked in a sense, in a situation where I was not working in a Christian environment, mm-hmm. aside from a handful of summer jobs or teen jobs or things like that. But I've never done that. And so Katie has, I have not. Pastor David?
Limited. I mean, lifeguarding at a Jewish community center.
Yeah, that's, so not a career
right, yeah, yeah,
spent
right.
in those things. So I think this will be an interesting talk. So Barna did a large research all about Christians at work. And we're going to take a look at parts of their study here.
Cool.
The free parts on their website.
Yay, free stuff.
Because they had a giant book that we could purchase
Ooh.
That we did not.
Well, maybe we will for later.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. All right, so first we're going to take a look at this question here that they were asking. Do you think it's personally better for a Christian to become a pastor or missionary or to represent their faith well in their place of work? What is better for a young Christian boy or girl to do? Pursue church work or pursue work and be a strong Christian there?
It depends on their gifts.
Okay.
I think God gives us gifts to use. Hopefully people turn those into what they do for their entire lifelong job, because then it becomes more fun and less work, I think. So I think it depends on where you're led and where you're called to go.
Yeah.
I was in a school for 8 years and I loved it. Like, that's what I was going to do my whole life. And then I had kids, which then changed things.
Sure.
But at the time, I never thought I was going to go into full-time ministry. That was my ministry.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't in a Christian setting, I was in a school, but I could still bring the love of Jesus there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Martin Luther talked about this as well. And for him, it was absolutely to be the best you could in this, I don't want to even say secular, he would not have called it the secular workplace, but in non-professional ministry, like, you know, be the best Christian shoemaker that you can, be the best Christian farmer that you can, because if we're all just sitting around being pastors, then no one's doing the things that need to be done, right? No one's growing our food, no one is protecting our streets, you have to do those things.
Yeah.
But I think Katie's hit the important piece, which is you've got to listen to your calling.
Sure.
And, you know, for some people, it would be better if they were in a quote unquote secular workplace, because it would better fit their gifts and their ability to allow God to use their talents in a in a way that affects change in the world.
Yeah.
For others of us, it's not. You know, it really. I think it depends highly on where you feel that sense of calling. It's something that we talk a lot about in the church, that idea of calling, but I don't know that we always understand what that's supposed to mean or what that's supposed to look like.
Sure. I think that that's right. We talk a lot about it, but sometimes we kind of fail in, like, how does that look like? Because probably many pastors or church workers maybe don't have the experience of working in a secular environment. So saying, hey, this is what it looks like to be a Christian in the office space is difficult, because they're like, I don't know what it's like to be a Christian in an office space or in a place where it's a given. So, like, my wife and I have talked about this. My wife is a drug and alcohol counselor in a secular environment, and I work at a church. And so for me, when I come into church, it's the norm to talk about faith, to talk about Jesus.
Right.
If we weren't doing that, things would be weird. Like, this would be kind of like a, what are we doing? But for my wife, it's the opposite. You know, even in a 12-step recovery program, which has an influence on a part of it is about a higher power, speaking directly about their personal beliefs in Jesus is just not something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an interesting place to be. Like, what does it look like to be a Christian in the public space. And Pastor David, you mentioned Martin Luther. I think one of the quotes, and I don't know if it's true, but I like, is a Christian shoemaker doesn't do his Christian duty by carving little crosses in all the shoes, but by making good shoes.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of it. So how do we think here, and Katie, maybe you might have more insight into that, how can we, since most of our listeners are not church workers, how can we fully express our faith in a non-church environment? Maybe you have more insight for us.
Right. Especially in a school, you have to be careful of what you say and sure. how you say things as far as religion is concerned.
Yeah.
But you can still show that you're a Christian. They'll know we are Christians by our love. I mean, it's like that song.
I sent some song coming up.
Yeah,
here we go. It's like that line right before the musical break in the show, right? Yeah.
Telling you, my whole life could be a musical.
Yeah.
No, but I do say that to say, I hope that in the 7 or 8 years that I taught, the kids that came into my classroom knew that I loved them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that you can still show that you're a Christian without saying it loud for everybody to hear. I don't know.
You know, we can continue on the train of throwing out quotes that may or may not have been said by the people they're attributed to. But St. Francis of Assisi is kind of famous for a quote that says, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words.
Sure. Right?
And that our actions convey much more about our faith than the words. Even Jesus would talk about this, right? It's not what goes into the body that defiles, but what comes out of the body. That our words matter much more than our words and our practices, the way we're living in the world, matter much more than just what we proclaim. So mm-hmm. like just walking into the building and saying, oh, I'm a Christian, you all should be Christians too, and then treating people like jerks is not as impactful as never saying that you're a Christian, but treating people with love and dignity and respect and living noticeably differently. You know, what does it mean for a lawyer to walk into a courtroom and be noticeably different because of how they treat the people in that space, right? Mm-hmm. Not that they're looking for special treatment, but they treat people in a way because they're living out that impact of the gospel, or the same for a financial advisor, or the same for a teacher, or the same for a garbage worker or a newspaper editor, whatever it might be.
Right? Sorry, I cut you off. It's not going to be easy either. I mean, you're going to have, there were educators who I worked with that it was hard for me to understand where they were coming from.
Sure.
It was hard to agree on the same style of teaching. But you also have to allow grace to happen too,
sure.
Which I think can also be.
I think for me, this idea of like, they'll know we are Christians by our love, which I think is a, Christian song here. It does kind of get some weird places, especially when you take them to work. Because like, are the Muslim teachers not loving teachers?
Right.
Are the secular or atheist teachers don't have their kids leave the classroom feeling that they are loved and cared for?
Sure.
And so, I mean, like, when it comes to like, I want my faith to represented by how I do or how I represent myself to the world, it needs to go to an extreme to really start getting people to say, wow, something's different. It's not enough to be like polite.
Right.
Like politeness is not enough in many ways to be like set apart from everybody else. Because I think in the rise of kind of secularism or nunism, we see like Christians aren't really all that much nicer than everybody else.
Yeah.
So being nice is not the goal. But being sacrificial in a special, unique way that's different than the world. And that sometimes is hard.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to be kind of stand out as somebody who's looking at the outcasts in the classroom or the outcasts in the courtroom or the outcasts of them and saying, like, that's who the people that we want to be kind and generous to. Is going to work and being like, how can I take care of the janitor in the same special way that I take care of the CEO?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's tough.
Yeah. And it may mean that you do or don't take certain jobs, right?
Yeah.
There might be jobs that because of our Christian values and because of our desire to follow Jesus, we say, I can't take that job. Like that job might pay more. It might be a great career opportunity, but I cannot work in that environment or I can't do that job and be faithful to my to my faith, which is repetitive. But yeah, you get it.
Well, back to the question we started on. Is it better to be a pastor or to represent your faith well in a place of work? So this survey said 12% said better to be a pastor, 25% better to represent faith at work, and 64% said neither is better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a,
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't choosing a choice.
Choosing the weak answer right there, yeah.
Let me sit here and balance on the fence.
But I do think that is very interesting because sometimes I've heard in church too, like we look at a kid who like has a special connection with Jesus, talks eloquently about their faith, reads their Bible, and we think, they should be a pastor. Yeah. Like we really want to push them into vocational ministry because of those things. And instead of saying like, hey, you have all these special things that you love about Jesus, and now let's get into what you see as good and valuable in the world. Mm-hmm. And those things will guide you in those places. So I think sometimes the church can get in this place of like, oh, you like to read the Bible? That means you should be a pastor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When instead, you like to read the Bible? That means you could do anything you want in this world. Right. Yeah. All right, let's take a look at our next study. That was part one. Part two, balancing career and kids. So we're all in this place right now, right? Balancing career and kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So this is really looking at Christian mothers and fathers and how they connect in the workplace. So attitudes toward vacation by relationship and family status. All right, so there's a lot of different things here. Most of the places, mothers and fathers will line up. And so, like, this idea that, you know, I believe God gave me certain gifts and talents to use for his glory, pretty much most fathers and mothers see that similarly.
Okay.
Fathers at 64%, mothers at 60%. I want to use my gifts and talents for the good of others. Pretty much similar, 62, 64. All those things are different. Where it really comes different here is when we say, I feel called to or made for my current work. Fathers see that as 55%, mothers at 38%.
Mm. I feel called to or made for my current work?
Yes. Okay. So we talked earlier about calling, this idea of vocational ministry. And so as fathers are experiencing that more real than mothers are.
Yeah.
And so what do we think about that? Why is that? Why do you think dads... or men experience a greater calling towards their jobs or professions than women? Or mothers. Not all women.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to make a...
Because I would totally make a generalized statement. Because
yeah, I think we're
allowed to make the generalized statement because yes. You're a part of the yes. group about which... So I'm going to hypothesize. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Because of social norms and social expectations... I think that women are often put in a position where as they become mothers, they feel that they need to sacrifice mm-hmm. career goals.
Yeah.
And so while working at home as a stay-at-home mom or as a parent is an incredibly meaningful and powerful thing, it is not a calling for everyone. And some people really live into that calling and feel yeah. like being at home with my kids is my calling and this is great mm-hmm. and blessings on you. But some people are there because they feel like they have to be rather than they feel like they're called to that and they feel like their calling is somewhere else. And I think more often than not, in our cultural norms right now, that's the women or the moms who are stepping into that role rather than dads sacrificing their career to say, I might not be called to this forever, but I'm going to step into this for a period of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie, what were you going to say? Your generalization? Yeah,
I totally agree with that. I also think, I was in the workforce for 7 years and then quit and became a stay-at-home mom mm-hmm. when I had my son. And... But that I felt like that was my calling during that season. And I do know that there are women who are at home because that's where they feel they need to be, but aren't, that isn't necessarily their calling. That isn't where they feel they're at their most,
right. Yeah.
You know. I also think for a lot of working moms that there is a lot of guilt sometimes that they aren't able to make school parties or school functions or be there for certain things. So I think that there's a lot going on there too.
Sure.
For working moms, for non-working moms. I mean, it's just a whole huge thing. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think, and some of this research is going to ultimately back that up, mm-hmm. that women are going to feel a little guiltier over feeling fulfilled from work differently than they than they've been feeling fulfilled from family.
Right.
And probably from an early age, you know, men are kind of given this idea of like, what's the role of the father or the dad in the relationship? To be a provider. Mm-hmm. So if you're providing for your family, you're doing your job mm-hmm. as the dad. Like, that's it. And for a mom, the role of nurturer of what it means to be a mother is much more complex. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much more, there's an expectation that you're there for everything, that you're there to put kids to bed, mm-hmm. you're there to be there for bath time, to love kids. Usually PTA is all moms, mm-hmm. you know, and that's Parent Teacher Association. So usually that's moms coming in to like support their kids in the classroom. And sometimes women can be made to feel guilty about that. Like, oh, yeah. you can't be at this event for your kid. Mm-hmm. Where are your priorities? Mm-hmm. Yet for a dad, I don't think there's that same shame-based understanding, especially not necessarily from other dads. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. It's not coming mm-hmm. from other men looking at you and saying like, wow, you worked 60 hours last week. Why weren't you at home?
Right.
You yeah. know, like, I don't think that's coming from other dads.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do we do with this? How do we support moms in the workplace?
I think we think very carefully about how we talk to moms mm-hmm. when they are yeah. in the work, you know, because I'm certainly in whatever community you find yourself in, you're probably going to be around moms who are working, and finding ways to speak in ways that open up opportunities for them to share share their struggles, but also their joys, mm-hmm. That allow them to feel the joy that they feel from working without feeling belittled for not being mm-hmm. at home. You know, and even as small as who are we thinking to invite to things? Who mm-hmm. are we, you know, if you have a group of people who are getting together and you're like, oh, well, we can't invite so-and-so because they work all the time. Well, you know, let them make that choice, you know, mm-hmm. You know, still, I don't know, mm-hmm. I'm talking in circles, but
yeah. Well, I think it's weird for us because we're kind of experiencing this even as a church right now, a little bit in tension. We do have a mom's Bible study, but yeah. it really is a stay-at-home mom's Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there's not a lot of opportunities for working moms
yep.
to be connected with one another. And I think that that can put things at tension of like, hey, moms, we've got this Bible study, but not if you work.
Right.
And that could be a subtle hint to women that they're putting their work as a priority over their own faith development or their own kids. And mm-hmm. I think that even if it's not explicitly stated that way, I do think that can be a subtle nudge that direction yep. that we need to acknowledge.
And I think, too, sometimes women can get lonely, especially sure. in this topic. So I think it's important that we find people that are spending the same amount of time at work that we are, or so we can talk to people about that.
Shared
I think
experiences,
that's
yes,
yeah. yeah, shared. Thank you. Shared experiences. I think that's really, really important. So yeah. you can hear, oh, this is working for me. This is not working for me. I understand your frustration. Like, I mean, you have people who are in it with you
yeah.
who understand exactly what you're going through.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, as a general life rule, right? I mean, we can do a lot as individuals to stop assuming that our way is the best way.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. That just because we have figured something out that works for our mm-hmm. family does not mean that every family is going to function the way ours does.
Right.
And we can find ways to respect and honor and celebrate those things that are working for mm-hmm. other families as well.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, you know, that this question's asking coming out of the study is like, how can faith communities create environments that rally around the realities of working adults today? And I think that's an interesting question. Right, this idea of like, how can churches rally around the realities that not everybody is a stay-at-home mom, and that even our moms working are feeling maybe confliction with how that they're living out their vocational calling, and that not everybody has the time and energy to give to the church
mm-hmm.
as they may have used to in the past, where one single income was enough mm-hmm. to provide for a family, and now it's not. And that's a weird place to be. So we used to have a, you know, system there. Only one parent needed to work, and it was probably the dad.
Right.
And now we just, for most families, they don't experience that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can the church respond to that?
I think it goes back to what you were just talking about with offering different opportunities for people who do work, having evening Bible studies, having just more opportunities for them to fit things into their schedule,
yeah.
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen churches that have started offering vacation Bible schools, which are traditionally, you know, a summer morning thing. They've started doing them in the evenings when parents can actually get their kids there because their kids are being cared for otherwise, and so their kids wouldn't be able to go. So I think, you know, re-exploring how we are doing existing ministries can be mm-hmm. one thing. And there are some aspects of the wheel that might need to be reinvented, right?
Sure.
You know, we've got people that are functioning in different ways. We had one church that I served where the council met at 6:30 in the morning. because all the people were working and they didn't have time in the evenings to come together for 2 hours. And so we'd meet from 6:30 to 8 and then everybody went to work. And, you know, one of the blessings was no one ever wanted to go long because no one wanted to be late to their job. So the meeting was always done on time.
Right.
And so, you know, rethinking what does that structure look like for us, and how do we think about that, and how do we make things available to people, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a working mom or you're a stay-at-home dad or you're a working dad, how do we make ministry things available to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about this somewhat as a staff of like, just because our vocational life revolves around this place, that does not mean everybody else's life does.
Right.
And, you know, it's getting out of the building more, and it's understanding, trying to meet people where they are more. And I think that's something that the church needs to do a better job of kind of figuring out. All right, well, let's take a little last one.
All right. Part three.
The church's role. I guess we'll be exploring this as we go. Well, good news here. According to the study, most Christians are feeling that they're vocationally supported by church. So I feel supported in my career or work by my church. 45% say definitely, with another 36% saying somewhat. So, I mean, that's a pretty high percentage. My church does a good job of helping me understand how to live out my faith in the workplace. Again, 53% say definitely, and another 37% say somewhat.
Yeah.
Those are pretty big percentages. Those are in the 80s and 90s percentages. So I think right now we're saying the church is doing a good job in this. How are we experiencing that? Do we see, like, the church doing a good job in this, or maybe sometimes we're a little nice on these surveys? But this is a pretty big thing that we're saying. Church right now is doing really, really good at these things. So how do we experience that?
I think that's something that's been true within the Lutheran tradition kind of from its roots. You know, one of Martin Luther's big things was this concept of the priesthood of all believers.
Yeah.
And that being that whatever occupation you are fulfilling, you have a calling from God. You have a vocation to live out in that occupation. So you might be a shoemaker. That was a big job for Luther's time. He used that example a lot. So you might be a shoemaker, but you have a calling from God to be a follower of Jesus Christ in that role. And so particularly within the Lutheran Church, I feel like we have done a pretty good job of continuing that tradition throughout our own history. You know, we're always trying to make the connections with people in their everyday lives and help them see how the gospel is applying, not just to our life here in the building, but how we take that out and connect it. That's why this podcast exists, right? I mean, how do we take this and connect it to our real life, and how do we make that matter?
Yeah, I think that does do a great job of going to the ministry of vocation and this idea that we are a body of Christ and not, and that means we all can have different worldviews, different ideas of what it means to be a Christian in the workplace, and all of them can be valid and all of them can be supported. So like we all can't, like not every Christian is called to be focused in and fight the same fight of like when it even comes to like racial inequality, something I think people around the world, hopefully Christ is engaged in every aspect of that, but not every Christian is called to be engaged in every single aspect of resolving that, or sex trafficking. You know, big issues we're all on board saying it's bad and wrong, but that doesn't mean every one of us is called to, you know, be on the front lines. Some of us are called to be supporters of the front lines, and some of us are called to fight a different fight or be engaged in some other aspect of ministry. And I think the church at its best does those things. It doesn't come from a place of like, if you're not outraged or you're not invested in X, then you're wrong. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, when we really get into the weeds there of the church. But when it's saying, what are you passionate about in this world, and how does Christ fulfill that? Or how is Christ pushing that into the world? And how can you be engaged in that? So I think that that's part of what it looks like to have that vocational priesthood of believers.
Yep.
Is we're all working for the same goal, and that's the redemption of the world, but we're all doing it a different way.
Yeah.
All right, it's recommendation time, and this time I am doing the recommendation. I'm going to recommend a movie. This is a movie that I saw a number of years ago that I think is really great. It's a really beautiful movie, all about Christian missionaries. It is
Gone
called
with the Wind.
Not Gone with the Wind. That's not about Christian
Blazing
missionaries.
Blazing Saddles.
That's it. Blazing Saddles. It's actually called The Mission. Have y'all seen this movie, Mission?
Yeah. I don't know that I've even heard of it.
It's really cool. It's about Jesuit missionaries in South America in like the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
And they're also these people that these Jesuit ministers are ministering to are being like attacked by outsiders, and they're figuring out how they want to do that. If they want to fight the colonists, or do they want to peacefully resist? It has Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons. Okay. And a young Liam Neeson in it.
Ooh.
So it's pretty good. Yeah, I think it's really good. I really...
The Mission?
The Mission. The Mission. I very much recommend it.
Okay.
Young Liam Neeson.
A young Liam Neeson. Yes. Pre, I guess Liam Neeson is going to like take out a gun and shoot everybody, Liam Neeson.
Pre-Taken.
Pre-Taken, yeah. And he's a missionary in it, so...
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be a good Taken twist. If you come back in like a future Taken movie and Liam Neeson is now a missionary.
Sure.
And then someone like kidnaps one of his missioners.
Missioners.
Yeah. And he has to use his very special set of skills in the name of God.
Do you know that one of the Rambo movies has that plot?
Are you serious?
Yes. That the missionaries go in and Rambo goes in to rescue them and like shoots a bunch of people.
Actually, I did know that because in Parks and Recreation, there's an episode where Andy describes it word for word.
Yes. It's pretty good. Yeah. Maybe we should do that.
Yes. So tell people where they can find us.
Oh, hey. So if you liked what you heard, that's great. We're glad you did.
And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? But if you liked what you heard, you can find more at www.beyondsundaypodcast.com. And of course, you can check us out on our Facebook page, Beyond Sunday Podcast.
There you go. All right. We're happy to do this podcast. Happy to hear from you.
We're just happy.
Call us in. Let's sing something together.
Yeah, we'll sing it out.
We want to do a duet. What's a duet we can do together here?
Well, it would have to be a trio because there's three of us.
Well, they're going to call into us and we're going to sing one part and they're going to sing the other.
We could do...
Somewhere Out There.
Oh, by American Tale. That's a good one. I like...
What's that one from Greece where they're both like singing the different parts at different times?
Summer Lovin'?
Yeah, Summer Lovin'. There you go. No, let's not do that one. I just remembered what that song was about. Let's not do that.
Summer Lovin'.
Have me last.
Well, call us in.
That's a fun karaoke one, too.
We will gladly do a duet with you to work through your workplace stress.
That karaoke is not going to make any sense because that was all off mic that we talked about karaoke. So.
Doesn't matter.
It's great.
Have a great week, everybody.
See you guys.